Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. Welcome into our Richmond audience now, AM 910, FM 105.1. We appreciate all of you all over D.C. listening to 106.7. Remember to take us with you on the Odyssey app. Right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, Jason Smith. Played in the NBA from 2007 through 2019, including a three-year stop here in D.C. We always enjoyed having him on the show when he was playing and have really enjoyed talking ball with him since. You now watch him pre- and post-game on NBC Sports Washington. Jason, good to have you back on, man. How you been?
My boys, it's been a long time. Why haven't I talked to you guys sooner?
It's not you. It's us. It's what we're going through. We got our own issues over here. Miss you, pal. But good to have you back on. This group right now is playing really fun basketball. We'll get to Bradley Beal here in a second, but just kind of give me your big picture of this season. There's basically been four quarters, awful, great, awful, and now great again. It's just really, really weird. A strange journey we've been on.
You know, it's been an unprecedented season. We've talked about this on the show throughout the entire year. They had a slow start. They had to deal with a stoppage due to COVID. It's been an absolute fun time to watch them as of late. But in the beginning, you really had to stick with the team. This was a tough team to watch at the beginning. But now everything has been clicking. Russell Westbrook has been getting triple doubles. Bradley Beal has been scoring his tail off. The others are producing. We have a three-headed monster of bigs of Alex Len, Robin Lopez, and Daniel Gafford. I think it's just been a testament of how hard this team works and what really Coach Brooks has put out there on the floor on a night-in, night-out basis. Now they've got an uphill battle, though. Bradley Beal, he's not available due to a hamstring injury, and that's something that you don't want to play with. So it's going to be interesting to see what Coach Brooks does out there. I think they're going to have to rely heavily on Russell Westbrook, but you're also going to have others step up, a.k.a. Mr. Rui Hachimura, possibly. But it's going to be fun to watch nonetheless.
Yeah, Jason, let's get deeper into that. Script that for me. I mean, if you're drawing some things up, obviously it's more Russ, and it's a lot more of the ball in his hand, and he's going to have to break Oscar Robertson's record and have a couple triple-doubles. How else do they get by and try to win without Beal?
You know, it's going to be interesting because a lot of teams are going to put a lot of onus on Russ. So you might see double teams, triple teams on him. But he's very good with his vision and getting everybody involved. You saw in the Toronto game a couple games back how Neto stepped up and Robin Lopez. Those are two guys, two trusted veterans that if there is double teams, they know the spots that they need to get to. They know where they can be effective on the offensive end. But they also give you a little bit of defensive pressure relief as well. So I think it's not only Russ on the offensive end, but I think on the defensive end, those other intangible plays of taking a charge, of getting a game-winning block against the Indiana Pacers last game, those are the plays that you want to see more of Russ of. And I get it. It's hard to say, hey, I want to see more from Russ because he's already given us triple-doubles on a nightly basis. Like, he is about to break a record that has stood for 50-some-odd years. That's absolutely incredible. We're watching history in the making. You need to tune in to tonight's game because you could watch Russell Westbrook solely take first place with 182 triple-doubles tonight. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Jason, you led me to my question here. I've run out of superlatives. I don't have enough words. I don't have a good enough vocabulary or the adjectives or adverbs. You lived this game. You played in this league. You live and breathe it every night. Quantify what we're seeing here. I understand he's not a great jump shooter, but he's whisper quiet, by the way. Got his field goal percentage up to north of 44%, which is something. But I don't know how to describe this to people, what it is that we're seeing. It's so mind-boggling, and now we're kind of used to it. It really is incredible.
Your eyes are not believing what your mind is telling you. You're watching history. I'm telling you, history in the making. The man gets triple doubles, and he has set the bar so high for himself that if he does not get a triple double, it's like, oh man, Russ had an off night. He only had 9 points, 17 rebounds, 21 assists. I mean, gosh dang, he really had a rough night tonight. No! The man is going out there and putting in work, and he does it in a multitude of different ways. There's a lot of people that say, hey, this guy is stealing the rebounds from the bigs. No, 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 no. You have to think of it as a different perspective. This man is aggressive enough to go chase down the rebound, be the first one down the floor, and find his teammate for AKA a dunk or a three-pointer or getting a layup at the basket in one opportunity. He does so much out there that you're like, sheesh, I'm just so used to it now that I don't even know what to expect. But this is why you cannot take this for granted. You will not see this for another, I don't know how many years. That's why now that he's in D.C., watch. Just watch what he does out there on the floor. It is absolutely amazing to see every little part of his game. Yeah, he's going to have some turnovers. Yeah, he's going to have a jumper miss here and there. He's not perfect. But boy, oh boy, does he leave it on the floor. And it is absolutely incredible to watch.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Jason. When they traded for him in the Wall deal, I was really excited because I wanted to try something different. No disrespect to Wall, who I loved. They had not going far in the playoffs covered. You know, I wanted to just try something else and see what happened. And I remember taking calls and all the basketball fans who watch a lot more than I do in Western Conference and things calling in about his lack of efficiency and his terrible shot selection and his turnovers. And watching him every game now, he has completely won me over, and those people just don't get it. You know, what he does, he's just such an alpha, and everyone around him is better for his presence. I love the dude. I think he is awesome. And yes, he is inefficient at times, and he takes bad shots, and he turns the ball over, and he'll make you scratch your head a little bit. It's all worth it. It's baked into whatever else you get, and it's a lot more good than bad.
And you know what? It's funny that you say that, because if you look on the outside looking in, you're like, man, he's not efficient. Oh, gosh, he turns the ball over. But what does he bring to the team? Like you said, that alpha male mentality. He not only makes himself better, but he makes everybody on the team better. And when you say John Wall, yes, John was a great player. I had a great time playing with John Wall. But the fact is that John wasn't on the floor towards those later ends of his career. And in Houston, he's not on the floor right now. What do you get out of Russell Westbrook? He is on the floor. He's giving it his all, regardless of how his body feels. It's almost like he's the Energizer Bunny out there. He's not getting tired. He's playing 30-plus minutes. He's getting triple doubles. And yet, it's just mind-boggling that you want to say, oh, man, he's missing too many shots, or he's turning the ball. Well, he has the ball in his hand pretty much 90% of the time. He's the point guard. He's commanding everybody's effort and energy out there to be at the same of him, if not better. And that's exactly what you want from your leader out there.
Jason Smith with us here on Grant and Danny. Jason, people kind of look at point totals in terms of what they've allowed and say whether the defense has been good or bad. They play the fastest of any team in the league, by to your point, with Russell Westbrook pushing the ball up and down the floor. So I look more at defensive rating. Lately, though, that defensive rating has been trending in the wrong direction as they kind of get ready for the postseason here, giving up a few too many easy looks and some things. Are you seeing the same thing I am in terms of that defensive energy and intensity, and how do they clean that up?
Man, I feel like you watch basketball too much. You know exactly what you're talking about. They have been giving up some points out there. I actually have a great prediction tonight on the pregame show, and it's going to be fun to watch about how they are a scoring monster as of late. In the last month, they have not gone below 110 points. In this month alone, they have not gone below 124 points. They are getting into back-and-forth scoring battles. Now, granted, that buys into the Wizards' favor because, one, you've got Russell Westbrook leading the way. Two, you had Bradley Beal going out there for 30, 32, 35, 50 last game. He's going to be sorely missed. So now it's time for the others to pick up where he has left off. You're going to have 31 points not there, not available for the next couple games. You're going to want to see Rui Hachimura step it up. Aul Neto, Robin Lopez, Ish Smith, Daniel Gafford. You're going to have a plethora of different guys that are going to get more opportunities on the offensive end. Now that defense, honestly, I think the Wizards' defense is their offense. Because if they're scoring and scoring at a high rate, it puts a lot of pressure on that defense. And the teams don't want to run with the Wizards. They are a team that gets out in transition better than most teams. And they've proven that, not against the bad teams, but also against the good teams as well. The Utah Jazz had trouble with them. The Phoenix Suns had trouble with them. The LA Lakers had troubles with them. So this is a good team right now that is clicking and firing on all cylinders. And it's exciting basketball to watch. That's why tonight, Mr. Russell Westbrook, 182 triple-double. I'm just putting it out there. It's going to be on NBC Sports. Tune in. Check it out. That's what I'm saying, man.
I hear you. I'm looking forward to it. It has become must-see TV. Before we let you go, I want to talk about this play-in scenario real quick because the standings are a blast just to check out every single day. The Wiz are a half game ahead of the Pacers. Looks like they're comfortably now in that group of 10 probably, right? But they're a half game ahead of the Pacers to host the 9-10 game. They're only one game back of the Hornets to get into the 7-8 game. Great benefit if you're in the 7-8 game because you have two chances to win and move on rather than having to win two straight games to get into the group of eight. But I set that up to ask you essentially, number one, what kind of matchup would they be for teams? And then also kind of for you as you look at the seeding right now with the Hornets and the Pacers, how do you think this ends with four games left and now no Beal for at least half of those games?
You know, it's funny you say that. Chris Miller has a great segment coming up in the second part of our show tonight. He is going to explain the play-in scenario. He's going to explain the teams that are battling for those last spots. The team that we really need to watch out for is Chicago because they could sneak up and snag that 10th spot if the Wizards lose out and if they win out. I don't see that scenario happening, however. But I think that the Wizards have set themselves up perfectly to host a 9-10 matchup, but they need to keep winning. Now, you said it. Without Bradley Beal, it's going to be a difficult road. But we've seen a difficult road this entire season, dealing with Russell Westbrook injuries in the beginning of the season, the COVID stoppage, the struggle coming out of All-Star weekend break. But guess what? The Washington Wizards are firing on all cylinders. It does not matter who is on the floor right now. As long as they have Russell Westbrook at the helm, he is going to demand excellence out there. And I think Coach Brooks has been doing a great job of inserting pieces who he thinks is ready to go out there and play. It doesn't matter if it's Garrison Matthews, Anthony Gill, Isak Bonga. There's a lot of guys that have gotten incredible minutes in this entire season to go out there and prove to coach, hey, I deserve to play. Well, guess what? Bradley Beal's not out there. You're going to get another chance to go out there and play again. And for this 9-10 battle, they need to continue to win to have that little home court advantage for that 9-10 battle. And who knows? If they keep on winning and the Hornets happen to lose a couple games, guess what the last game of the season is? Charlotte Hornets. Must-see basketball, can I dare say?
Radio appearance as strong as your suit game. Jason, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. We're going to have to talk sooner, guys. I appreciate you, man.
We will. Let's
no question, dude.
After they're locked into the play-in tourney, we'll get you on to break down the matchup.
Let's do it. I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a great day.
You too,
well,
pal.
Brother. Jason Smith, always fun. NBC Sports Washington on Grant and Danny. All right, so let's get into this play-in tournament because I think this is the coolest thing.
I love it.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
You hated it.
No, I love this.
So here's why I thought you were going to hate it, by the way, and I thought we were going to be diametrically opposed on this. Your Mr. Regular Season has to matter. Regular season.
Absolutely.
Nothing that makes the regular season less important is good, and this kind of waters it down quite a bit, frankly, at the end of the regular season where if you're the 7th seed versus the 10th seed, you could be 11 wins better and still be screwed. So I thought you would really hate it just based on some of your previous takes. Having said that, here's how this works. First, let's explain it to people.
Yes.
Because I think it is confusing until you kind of hear exactly how this goes down, and then you go, oh, that actually is kind of cool. So think of it this way. The top six teams in each conference make the playoffs. Automatically, they get in, okay? Like before, there is an eight-team bracket when the playoffs begin, where the one is going to play the eight, the two is going to play the seven, the three is going to play the six, the four is going to play the five. Initially, if you're one of the top six seeds, you automatically get into that field of eight, okay? So you don't have to worry. You're just in. You're waiting to see those other four teams who gets the last two spots. Right now, that is the 76ers, the one seed in the East, the Nets, the two seed, the Bucks are the three seed, the Knicks are the four seed, and the Hawks and the Heat, five and six, would round out those six teams that are in.
Uh-huh.
Teams 7 through 10 in both conferences then vie for the final two spots in the playoffs, the 7 and the 8 seed. The way this works is what they call this play-in tournament. The 7 plays the 8 initially, okay, the two best teams. Now, here's the advantage to being a 7 or an 8 seed being better than the 9 or the 10 seed. If you win that game, so right now this is the Celtics against the Hornets, 7 Boston, 8 Charlotte. The winner of that game is automatically into the field as the 7 seed.
Yep.
They're the best team coming out of this playoff pool of four teams, and they're in. You just have to win one game. The loser of that game, the 7 versus the 8, is not eliminated. They get one more chance to get in. So let's just say the Celtics, the 7 seed, beat the 8 seed Hornets. They move along, they're in as the 7 seed. The 8 seed is still up for grabs. The Hornets can still get it. They play the winner of the 9-10 game. So that's the Wizards right now hosting the Pacers. If the Wizards beat the Pacers in the 9-10, loser of the 9-10 automatically eliminated.
They're done.
You could play one playoff game and you're cooked. That's Wizards-Pacers. Say the Wiz beat the Pacers. Pacers are done. Wizards then have to win a second game over, in this case, the Hornets, for the 8 seed in the playoffs. So the 7-8 winner automatically gets the 7 seed. The loser of that game waits to play the winner of the 9-10 game, and the winner of that game gets the 8 seed and everyone else goes home. And at that point, we have 8 teams to move forward. I think this is the coolest thing, and I actually would like to see it used in other sports. I think it's awesome.
100%. It's compelling. It's fun. It makes the edge of the postseason more attainable.
Perfect.
It's more worthwhile. For example, right now, the Lakers would be in that play-in game. The 7th seed in the West. Now, the reason they're there is because Anthony Davis and LeBron James missed a ton of time. That's regular season. That happens. Here's why I still think it fits with my axiom. They need to make regular seasons count more and give more weight. You finish in the top six. Rewards. Joy. Rest. Calm. Stretch. Get massages. Watch movies. Do whatever you want. You have earned your place. Other teams, you get an advantage being in the 7 or 8 seed. You win one game, you get right there in the dance. And everybody else, it's competitive and it's fighting for that one last spot. I love this so much. It is way better than basically knowing who's going to be 1 through 7 by this point in the never regular season. And then there's some sort of battle where Charlotte maybe doesn't really want to because they're probably trying to tank. Same with Chicago. They're not really sure what they want to do. Maybe somebody gets the 8 seed just to be cannon fodder for Philadelphia or whoever the 1 seed is. This is wildly entertaining. I wish more sports did stuff just like this.
Obviously, the NFL can't do something like this.
Right.
Because you can't bang out a bunch of games in succession. It's the reason you can't have a tournament like we have in the NCAA basketball ranks for college football. You can play once a week, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you wipe this away for football. But hockey could do something like this.
Yep.
And kind of did, by the way, last year, where you could have 6 teams get in and the last 2 spots are up for grabs for 4 teams. You could do this in baseball.
And I think they should, especially in baseball, by the way.
They could and should in baseball as well. The issue you're going to have is that people are not going to like that it does take away from the overall importance of the regular season, which has been a long-standing issue for you with any kind of playoff changes.
Mm-hmm.
You want the regular season to matter. You don't want the spice of trying to make the playoffs a little bit better to take away from how important the games are during the regular year. So to that, I mean, you've kind of come around, but what do you say to that?
Well, here's how I'd address it. I give more advantage to teams that earned it over the long haul, baseball especially. So let's say for the sake of argument, the best team in the National League right now this minute is the St. Louis Cardinals. Okay, they're my number one overall seed in the National League. They play all their games at home. That's the first thing I would do. You earned it over 162 games. You will not play a road game in the first round of the playoffs. Second thing I do, if you're one of these wild card teams, you got to play the day after the regular season ends. You got to start a 3-game series while St. Louis waits. And then As soon as that three games
play in tournament.
Yeah, you're playing tournament. So you got to use your pitching. You got to grind and grind and grind and grind. At St. Louis, you're just sitting there waiting. Then you'll fly to St. Louis and play the next day. You got to hurry the hell up and get those games done to give St. Louis, they can line up their rotation, et cetera. I would weaken the teams that are getting to that tournament. And if you win despite that extra tournament stuff, tip of the cap, that's awesome. I would give so many advantages to teams that are good for 6-7 months.
I don't want to add like huge additions to the overall playoffs. Like, you're the 10 seed. You get into the first series automatically.
Meaning baseball or
any
basketball?
Sport. Any sport. Like 10 teams get in, say the Pacers right now, and a 10-1 get to play Philly. But if you have to earn in a little tourney into the playoffs where you're taxing yourself before it starts while the other teams are waiting, I'm cool with that. Great segment with Jason Smith. He was a lot of fun. Tariq El-Bashir will be with us at 6 for a similar conversation on the Capitals with Tariq, which we're pumped about. Tim Tebow is back in the news because, of course, he is. He's also coming back to the NFL, believe it or not. For Grant and Danny, that's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To the fans and everybody in Gator Nation, I'm sorry. Extremely sorry. You know, we were hoping for an undefeated season. That was my goal. Something Florida's never done here. But I promise you one thing. A lot of good will come out of this. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season. And you never see someone push the rest of the team as hard as I will push everybody the rest of the season. And you never see a team play harder than we will the rest of this season. God bless.
Timmy Tebow pouring out his heart. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We're also live in Richmond, 105.1 FM, 910 AM. When he was at Florida?
When he was there.
He won a lot of football games. I'll tell you that much. It looks like Tim Tebow is going to be playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars after all.
Just incredible.
Remember years and years of he should go quarterback the Jaguars when they were looking for a QB. And he came out of Gainesville and then somehow he was with the Broncos, and because they had a great defense and a great running game and awesome kicking game, they won a couple games that he quarterbacked. They even won a playoff game, believe it or not. He threw like a 7-yard slant.
Yep.
I think it was Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas took it to the house against Pittsburgh.
Took to the crib like 74 yards, beat Ryan Clark, who took an awful angle, if I remember.
And they go, well, he won a playoff game when, like, Peyton Manning didn't. But they, nobody didn't occur to anyone that Manning was already in the next round. Because they got a bye because they were so good. Just that, just weird. People don't care about stuff. They just, Tim Tebow. They lost their minds.
Well, Tebow's back in the NFL, apparently. Report from ESPN.com. The Jaguars are signing Tim Tebow, the 33-year-old. Not to like a one-day contract so he can retire a Jaguar. They're signing him to a one-year contract later this week or next week to play tight end in the NFL. A position.
It's amazing.
He has never played in high school, college, or his previous 3-year NFL career. Samus Reyes is trying to become a tight end. He's never done it before, and we're saying based on his athleticism, which is all-world, he might have a shot to. I could see Tim Tebow as an H-back or a tight end. This is actually what people were telling him he should be doing when it wasn't working as a quarterback. And a lot of folks were angry because teams weren't giving him a shot as a QB. And people like me who study the NFL were saying, complete higher than 48% of your passes, and I'll talk to you about playing quarterback. Complete 50% of your passes, and then we can have a conversation about whether or not you're an NFL quarterback. Because in his career, he legitimately completed 47%. He was not an NFL QB. The fact that he went in the first round is still one of the most stunning developments in the history of the draft. I don't know who was responsible for that pick.
Josh McCown, right?
Wouldn't have been Josh McCown. He's just a quarterback.
Damn it.
You're thinking of Josh McDaniels.
McDaniels, my God.
But was he the guy?
Yeah, he was the head coach.
I know he was the head coach, but was it his decision to draft Tim Tebow? That feels ownery to me.
Mm.
Like an owner says, I want this dude because people are going to buy his jersey. Whatever it was just a terrible idea, and you can't win with that guy as your quarterback. But regardless, it's been a whirlwind for him since. He was on TV as an analyst, then he went and played baseball, and now he's back in the NFL as a tight end. What a life Tim Tebow has had.
Phenomenal. And listen, I found myself supremely annoyed at him through no fault of his own. All he was trying to do was play, and because of the incorrect shouting and all the different media attention bits that he would get, like, you know, he's an H-back for the Jets in training camp and, like, runs a route and doesn't turn around, leaves an interception in a preseason game. I got so exhausted by him. Again, through no fault of his own. All he's trying to do is play and live his best life. But I found it so irritating. Once that went away, right? The overall, you know, the Skip Bayless type attention and all that other kind of stuff, I actually kind of took a step back. I marvel at this guy.
Yeah, you hated that he played baseball though.
Initially, I go, this is a joke. This is what we're doing. He's got a sneaker coming out, I'm sure. He wants to be able to go get on a speaker tour. He played better part of three seasons in minor league baseball and was competent, was not an embarrassment.
So you no longer hate that he did it?
No.
You were so mad at him.
I was so mad in 2017. I was mad because I go, this is such a gimmick. Give me a break. It's going to be some Nike campaign and that's going to be it. It wasn't. He was really playing. And the fact that he was fine as a minor leaguer is, no one's going to talk about that part of it. Everyone likes to make their big punchlines and jokes. That dude in double A hit 273. In double A baseball. Do you realize the percentage of human beings that pick up a baseball and a bat for the first time that could do that, let alone not having played for more than a decade as a 30-year-old at that point? It's absolutely incredible what that guy did. And he's going to get a chance because Urban Meyer's his boy and you know, he'll play H-back. Maybe he makes a team, maybe he doesn't. But it really is amazing. I marvel at the guy. I really
do.
So
he ended up having 287 games and about 1,000 at-bats. So you're talking about well over a major league season. But he hit 18 home runs in the minors.
Yeah.
And hit over 220. Kyle Schwarber and Josh Bell right now. And I'm not comparing them to Tim Tebow in the sense like he's better at baseball. But I'm just saying, in the big leagues right now, they're not even hitting 200. Tebow hit 223. And as you said, he hit over 270 in double A. Couldn't hit in triple A. Was about 160 hitter. But look, below league average OPS, but not awful. Like a 638 OPS. Not terrible.
Just a regular minor league baseball player who happens to be a celebrity.
It was insane to see how well he fared in baseball. It really was. Whether you were supportive of it or not, and my take on it was kind of, so what? Let the guy play baseball. Who cares? Now, I think two things can be true. I was talking to Darius about this a few minutes ago. I have always kind of been a, let him do what he's going to, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My annoyance with Tim Tebow was always just arguing that he can't be a quarterback. He's not a good quarterback.
Arguing with people about Tebow, not Tebow himself.
Correct.
That's where I was.
No issue with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's just Tim Tebow. You called him. He didn't call you. You called him and said you want him to be your quarterback.
Yeah.
Guess who showed up? Tim Tebow. That's your fault, not Tim Tebow's fault. But when I got past the whole, let's stop pretending like he's a great NFL quarterback or he can win a Super Bowl, whatever else, TV analyst Tim Tebow, I root for that guy. Baseball player Tim Tebow, I root for that guy. Tight end Tim Tebow, I'll root for that guy too. People have claimed for years, change positions, go play in the CFL. Mm-hmm. Why? Why does he have to go play in the CFL if he can go play minor league baseball? Everyone wants them to do what they would have had to do. He's Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
He ain't you.
He's got a different ticket, man.
People want to give this guy jobs. He is a butts and seats guy. He is going to bring value. He can do whatever he wants to do, and he has. But I also will admit on the other side of this, and this is the part I was talking to Darius about, he loves the juice. I mean, it seems to me like he is a guy that thrives in and revels in the attention.
Agreed.
Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you could just not play tight end for the Jaguars right now and try to make the team. It's been a couple months since Tim Tebow was in the news cycle. So it's time for Tim Tebow to be back in the news cycle. I think he likes it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
He likes the juice. A lot of people like the juice.
I like the juice.
We all love the juice.
I'm pro juice.
Tim Tebow, nobody likes juice like he does. But go be a tight end. And I hope the guy turns into a player who catches some passes for the Jaguars.
Really
cool
is
story.
Amazing, man. And listen, from Jacksonville's perspective, they're probably just doing it to sell some tickets to get people excited.
Remember, the head coach is Urban
Meyer. Yeah, I mean, Urban Meyer's his boy.
He calls up Urban and says, remember that time I hooked you at Florida? I need you to hook me now. I want to be in the NFL.
But last time he played in the NFL was 2012. We're talking 10 years since then.
So? He's 33.
I know. It's remarkable. Basically, not doing something for a decade and then being called to the highest level of that thing is absurd. It's amazing. And again, I'm not running them down. It's incredible. A lot of people want to play in the NFL. There's probably a lot of 33-year-olds that were in the league in their 20s that would like a call from the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. Carolina, the Jets. Name a team. I would love a call to go be their third tight end. A million and one guys right now this minute would love to do that. The fact that it's even on the radar that that guy could be in the NFL again is a testament to him. It's incredible.
But why are you acting like he's not a 99.9th percentile athlete
I'm not.
On the planet?
And that's the point I'm trying to tip my cap to that guy.
Like a million and one guys that want the call? So what?
Even guys that played in the league. I know.
They ain't him.
It's amazing.
There's a guy training with Sammy Reyes and Logan Paulson right now.
Right.
Which, by the way, I saw videos of Logan training Samus Reyes this weekend. That gets me so steamed up.
I like everything about it, by the way.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that. But I'm going to take – as a show, we need to take credit for that.
Yeah, that's our thing. We put them together.
They already knew each other, and we're already planning on doing that. We did put in a call to Logan and said, you got to work with Samus Reyes.
It was our idea to bring him in.
So, yeah, overall, I'd say that was definitely us. And without us, maybe Reyes wasn't even signed by the football team. Logan wouldn't even know he existed.
And by the way, just super, this is not even what we're talking about. Just you and me talking for one quick second. The Washington football team released Marcus Baugh, one of the guys in the tight end sort of room in the depth chart.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about anything. I'm just saying, there are different people that are no longer in Samus Reyes' way. There's another person that's not on the depth chart. And it could be Samus Reyes on the depth chart at one point.
And they didn't sign Tim Tebow either.
That's right.
They could have.
For this fan club, it's a big deal. We monitor this sort of thing. That's what we do here at the fan club.
But Tebow he's just that dude. I mean, people want to Joan. The only thing I think that you can probably Joan on Tim Tebow about is if Tim Tebow was trying to convince you that he's an NFL quarterback. You could say, no, you're not. Look at your numbers. Look at your throwing motion. Just trust me on this. You're not an NFL quarterback. The league has spoken
right
for the last 10 years. However, this guy played AAA baseball and hit bombs. This guy now is getting a call. I don't know, at 33, if he's going to make the league or not. He'd maybe be a second or third tight end. Can he block? No clue.
Big physical dude. We'll see.
I just hope he catches a few passes. And it kind of ends where it should have probably gone years ago.
Right.
Frankly, in 2013 or 14. If he really just wanted to be in the NFL and he just became a tight end then, I'm confident he could have.
I bet you could have.
And at that point, I don't know like what comp we're talking about, but I think he would have had a 5-6-7-year career as like a fullback tight end.
It's like a Kyle Rudolph kind of a guy. Maybe not even that good. Someone physical.
I'm not going to go there. Yeah. I'm going to say more of like a let me think of a comp. Maybe like a poor man's Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Or something. Like a guy that catches the ball to the backfield a little bit, blocks in the running game some. Like that kind of thing, okay? Super poor man's version. He's a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't want to do that. He's like, I'm going to go be an analyst. Cool. Now I'm going to play baseball. All right.
It's
now
amazing.
I'm going to be an author and sell books. Cool.
The baseball part, I mean, I played with so many dudes who were nasty, who were terrific, who didn't play AAA baseball. You know what I mean? Like I played with and played against dozens and dozens and dozens of guys where you go, that is ridiculous that this person can do this. Whether it's throwing 95, hitting a ball 500 feet, just statistics, just guys that were in rookie ball, just in some Gulf Coast league, wearing some funny hat an A ball, high A sometimes.
But this is what I'm trying to tell
you. It's amazing.
None of those guys are the athlete Tim Tebow.
I understand that.
Like, you're sleeping on Tim Tebow.
What I'm saying is that that's all they ever did their entire lives, were great baseball players. This guy looks at his watch and goes, well, I haven't played in 12 years. I should probably pick it up again. And made it to AAA. Right. It's incredible.
Part of why he made it to AAA was that he was.
He's a celebrity, sure.
But you hit 270 with power in AA, you might get a shot in AAA. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at 4. Still got to get into the NFL schedule release this week and the fact that you, yes, you, fans, going to be back at Capital One Arena at 25% capacity to kick off the playoffs. Maybe 100% capacity at games in town next month at this time.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeeps, this is from The Guardian. Strong content coming here.
Is that a warning? Or
this is a strong content warning.
Okay.
If you've got children in the car with you, be aware here.
Why are you making people turn off their radio?
I'm not.
Quite literally the opposite of what I want you to
do. I want to let you know, this is pretty graphic. Gwyneth Paltrow ate bread. Now, you're probably concerned. How did that happen? What went down? There's a story in The Guardian about how we all had to cope and how hard it all was for all of us during quarantine, during the pandemic. Everything was difficult, challenging, whether it was as a parent, remote schooling, and trying to maintain healthy relationships, work-life balance, having your kids around, and husbands and wives and people leaving the workforce, the economy goes to a stall, plus loss of life, sickness. There was a lot that was going on for the last year plus. Gwyneth Paltrow may have had it the worst. According to The Guardian, Gwyneth Paltrow broke down and ate bread during quarantine. What was your lowest point? The Guardian asks. In all sincerity, not in satire.
That's not a bit.
This is your headline right there. I'm turning around and showing it to you.
I don't believe what you're saying.
This is what it looks like. Go ahead and read it for everybody.
The headline?
It's the headline. Yeah, go ahead.
It says, Gwyneth Paltrow broke down and ate bread during quarantine. What was your lowest point?
Because that was her lowest point. And
I hate that story.
There's
If that story was a person, I would get in trouble for kicking it in the face.
I would say things about it. I Googled it and didn't click on it because I'm not giving it a click.
Who wrote that? What is The Guardian?
It's from The Guardian. It's a newspaper of some sort, I'm sure. I'm sure they do a great job in whatever it is they're trying to do. But what they did was boil my blood today. Gwyneth ate bread during the quarantine.
Did you read it? Is it satirical?
No, this is...
I'll bet you it's satire.
It's not. This is the story is all the different people are like confessing this is how bad it got for me. They're just like us. Gwyneth broke down and ate bread. This is French Revolution stuff. This is let them eat cake. This is the entitled, beyond privileged, sort of separate, exfoliated, clean class.
Can I get her quote, please?
All right, fine. I'll find it specifically. Open thread. The pandemic dragged even celebrities down, so how were the rest of us mortals meant to hold it together? Let me see if I can find her actual quote, but I can't. It's in the story. But that's the point, is that Gwyneth ate bread. And I told you it'd be very, very graphic. I told you this would be very, very hard to deal with. So as you guys are understanding, as we come out of this, slowly but surely, right, things are improving. We can go to some games coming up soon, and maybe kids will be back in school full-time, God forbid, sometime this fall, as we've navigated this pandemic. We've tried to show as much grace as we possibly can in the face of untold adversity. It gets the better of all of us. And Gwyneth ate bread that time. She broke down and ate bread. You out of touch, self-centered, absolute monster. You monster.
I am going to assume that a good read of that story would lead you to the conclusion that it was satirical and this was a bit for her. And maybe she's hilarious. I'm going to do that for my own sanity, because otherwise I'm just going to hate everyone involved. So I'm going to say that it was funny. That Gwyneth, my takeaway from that double play, Gwyneth Paltrow's hilarious.
So the author, I think, did it realizing, hey, this is insane. Like, that's, she legitimately thinks she's relating to the unwashed masses, to you and me as we struggled, right? As everybody else listening to this program, as they struggled. Maybe you lost your job. Well, Gwyneth ate bread.
Maybe you had a loved one die.
Gwyneth ate bread. You couldn't deal with your kids being
at
home.
Maybe you lost three jobs.
Yeah. Maybe you lost everything. Gwyneth ate bread. I think the author realizes that this is what an insane person sounds like. This is what an out-of-touch, insane, self-centered, self-righteous, over-the-top harpy shrew sounds like. I think she realized that. Can you imagine thinking? Can you imagine that? This is how devastated I was. I
quite
ate bread.
Literally can't, which is why I'm assuming that she's joking. I don't know how many different ways to say
Gwyneth this. Isn't joking.
I think she's joking.
The author at The Guardian is making humors.
It's time for my double play. I saw this picture via The Sun. There's this guy holding up his baby balloon from when he was born. It says, it's a boy. And the guy is now roughly 30 years old.
Okay.
Ryan was born at Oxford's Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford on July 11th, 1992. So he'll be celebrating his 30th birthday this July. And the balloon is still alive. The balloon hasn't popped yet. They're saying it's the oldest balloon on the planet.
How has he kept it alive?
I don't know. The balloon's just got magic helium or something. But that balloon is the balloon that was like at his bedstand when he was born. And now he's holding the balloon as a grown man. And the balloon hasn't deflated.
That's incredible. Atmospheric pressure just takes it away. Like, slowly but surely, you can't have a balloon.
The claim, and maybe they're getting one over on everyone, is that they've never done anything with this balloon other than just let it stay. And here it is. Here's a balloon. I've still got a balloon from like a month ago for my daughter's birthday at the end of March. So coming up on a month and a half. It's like at the top of our bathroom, like the ceiling now.
It's gotten up there, yeah.
It's still got a little air in it, but it's not 30 years old. Like
all the balloons we've had are right in National Airport's flight path. They're up there in the atmosphere.
It's a good place for them. Beltway Blitz is next. 5 at 5 today is about 1 hour away. We're talking to Tarik El-Bashir at 6 about the Caps, who will be playing playoff hockey this week. We're Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.